All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. It's been a minute. We've been busy doing our side thing, a Music from a Darkened Room, run by our very own Brad. Say hi, Brad.
Hello.
Which has been fantastic. I'm Joe, your handler, by the way. I play Axel over there, and then I'm playing it with Dace, who plays Alice over there, but right now it's playing Benji. Say hi.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Is that his name? I'd forgotten. Thanks for the reminder.
It's been a while.
I hope you're going to go in-depth on this
recap. On this recap?
My man, because we're going to need it.
Yeah, and of course, we're doing that because we had to wait for our wonderful friend Jean to finally come to an agreement with the cartel. But he's back. Say
hi. The good news is all that Patreon money you guys raised...
The cartel money.
Oh, yeah.
They were like,
thanks to you guys.
Because that's all public, right? You get to see how much you make. And then they were like, you know what? Let them go. You guys keep your money. All three of you.
And that was the gracious thing. Yeah.
Definitely would have lost some limbs without the generous support of our patrons.
How many... Do you still have all your digits, Jean? Or is that
mostly
from previous...
Honestly, no. I don't know if you can see. It's probably a little bit, like, weird on the focal plane. But I, like... Yeah, there's a bit of knuckle missing there and a bit of knuckle missing there.
But that they was just shaved it?
Yeah. With the road and a bicycle. Yeah, it was very creative.
You gotta give it to him. Really think outside of the box, that cartel.
I had a question for you guys. So it is my I'm still working and I'm trying to, you know, I've got some research stuff. I'm trying to get our house sold. By the way, as of last night, our house it's done. We're locked in. We are selling our house, and we have our house like locked in that we're moving to.
I have a question about that very quickly.
Go.
So I know they put up horses as artwork and everything else, but now I see that there's a literal skeleton in your closet. Was that also done?
Oh yeah. wait,
let me see. What's going on there, Joe? Is everything okay at home?
Whoops.
Symbolism going on. It's not very subtle, if so.
No, that is my wife. She's
dead.
She's in the car. That's her.
No, my wife. She's doing nursing school, and she's doing AMP and stuff. And so she's like, God, I just wish I had like a whole skeleton. Like it would be so much easier to study. And like I was like, do you want one? Like they're not that expensive. Like, do you want like
so romantic?
It'd be
the
kind
human
of fun.
Skeletons.
Yeah, like I know a guy.
Human remains aren't that hard to get a hold to, Joe.
You did. They're just laying
You'd be
around.
Surprised.
They just like from they just bury them in fields.
They're just giving them away.
And they don't even... The fences, they're like not even that tall. You know?
And they put
like,
these weird gray blocks at the head of them, and I don't know
so
why.
So you know exactly where they are.
It's
they
weird.
Mark them for you?
Sorry, I interrupted. Please go on. That felt like an important question.
You needed to ask about the skeleton, that's fair. No, I did something I haven't done in a while. I binged a show from start to finish in like 2 days.
Ah, Dish.
Yeah, it was an anime. It was a Frieren Beyond Journey's End. I don't know if you guys have heard about this.
Have not.
It's really, really good.
From someone else, yeah.
It's absolutely solid and extremely fun and... I don't know, like, honestly, I was like, wow, this is extremely family friendly, you know? Like, not that I was expecting anything else, but I was like, this is a great show. It's about, like, imagine, like, a D&D group. It's, like, about a group of adventurers who go and basically defeat the big bad and save the world, but one of their party members is an elf, Frieren, and she lives, like, thousands of years, so the rest of the party gets old and dies.
Oh, that's brutal.
And it's called Beyond Journey's End. So the journey's over, and it's about her after the rest of her party mates like are getting old and dying.
Oh, and like, what she's sadistic doing. Fuck made the show. Who thought that would be a good
She then
idea?
Goes on a different adventure to do something else and like reconnect with them and stuff like that. So it's like, it's about that. It's really, really good.
Just
have you guys
coffee and cigarettes?
Just coffee.
D&D setting.
Have you guys binged anything? What's the last thing you binged?
Yeah. For some reason, it feels like I never watch TV, but like one Sunday out of the month, I'll just like lay in bed and watch TV all fucking day. And the last time I did that, I watched a show called Scavenger's Reign. Have y'all heard of this?
No.
Mm-mm.
It's really cool. It's about people that are marooned on an alien planet. And the story is really good, and the animation is amazing, aside from like the landscape. And the creature design is amazing. I'm not crazy about like the human design animation, but it's super worth checking out. It's really good.
Is that an anime? Or is it animated?
It's Western animation.
Okay.
And also Delicious in Dungeon is awesome.
Delicious in Dungeon?
It's about, picture a D&D group, but they're broke, and they have to murder the monsters and eat them in order to survive.
Oh my god! Lord.
So it's like half cooking show and half adventure.
It's a cooking show.
It's awesome. Really good.
They're like, and here's a goblin I prepared earlier. Like,
and then around like episode, yeah, it's literally like that. The first episode, they kill a cute sentient mushroom. Dismember it.
Wow.
But then the story actually gets really good too. Like 12 or so episodes in. So
okay.
Yeah, both of those highly recommended.
Okay. Nice. What about you, John?
No. Holiday. I've been binging Olive Oil.
That's right.
He's been binging life.
My entire gut biome has fundamentally changed to adapt to all the oil and bread that you eat up there.
How do they say so healthy? Just eating bread and oil.
Truly. My nose is... Like, so...
It's fresh bread.
I've heard from other people that like people are way more thin in Europe. And, like, how is that possible in Italy? Like, all you're eating is cheese and bread.
Well,
all the time.
It turns out that cheese and bread and oil are not nearly as calorie dense as eating junk food.
Processed sugar, and salt. Yeah. They're not big on all the processed food, with the exception of, like, processed meats. But they do it, they do it the Italian way, and somehow.
They're like smoked meats,
Yeah, it's delicious. So that's what I've been binging.
Did we already ask, what's your best meal you've had there?
It's probably pizza. It's like very cliche, but pizza in Rome. But in Rome, it's called a pinza because, they've got their... Everybody's got their dialect and they leave off half the words or the half the consonants in a word.
Is it like the pizza? It's like the Brooklyn. It's like the Brooklyn of Italy.
Is exactly it. Yeah.
Gross.
It's ridiculous. Awful. No, it's fantastic.
Well, never mind. I changed my mind. I don't want to visit Rome.
No, it's good. It's good.
You want to give a shout out to your favorite pizza joint?
I would be embarrassed because I don't remember what it was called. But it's in Rome.
There you go. For shame.
Must not have been that good.
I know.
We have all this clout, so I figured we might do a solid,
extensive
clout.
I will
look it up while Brad answers.
What about you, Brad? Yeah, what's a show you binged recently? Are you too grown up for that kind of thing nowadays?
Yeah, I'm too grown up for binging shows, and instead I've been playing an anime fighting game. So instead of sitting down watching something peacefully, I've been yelling at my screen while two cute anime characters fight each other.
He's playing Dead or Alive. I guess they don't fight.
Random thing called, I don't know how I found it, but it's like a good fighting game with like really in-depth mechanics called Under Night in Birth something something.
It has like three subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically like Street Fighter, but anime characters.
I remember something about Maria saying how it like stresses her out when you play fighting games. Because of all the rage.
Yeah, I don't get mad at any other game but fighting games.
Specifically that. Oh,
that is hilarious. I don't hilarious.
Care if someone kills me in a shooter.
Yeah, you don't.
That's the only other. Because it's kind of like spread across the whole team. It's like, it's not just my fault. It's like
right.
Maybe so-and-so didn't do their job.
Oh, you're like, that guy. Do? Oh, you didn't cover me. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But with fighting games, it's like literally didn't beat them. And it's all on you.
Yeah. I can't. Well, I feel like it's also more skill-based in a way, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Okay, like, do you yell at the screen about ping? Are you like, oh, what's up with your ping? You,
or you like
piece of
bite
shit.
Your controller because it's a little laggy, a little bit loose.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Do you guys remember, like, one thing that I always, when I think about, like, ragey video game people, I always think of, one of our friends who originally was the girlfriend of one of our friends who plays a lot of Call of Duty, and every time she plays, like, you want to talk about the biggest shit talker, holy shit. I remember it wasn't too long ago, the last time we played D&D with him, she was in the background, like, fuck you fucking cocksucker, like, you piece of shit.
I used to have,
and
like,
she does sound like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, it's like she sounds like a 12-year-old boy on mic. And so people are like, hey, fuck you kid. She's like, I'm not a kid. I'm a grown-ass woman, you son of a bitch. I swear to God, I think I remember at one point in time her being like, I've sucked bigger dicks than you'll ever have, you fuck. Like, it's like... Oh, God. Well, are you guys ready for a lengthy...
No, not yet.
Okay.
Pizza.
You have something else?
Arrosticini. Oh, pizza. Pizza e arrosticini in Rome. That's where you gotta go.
Okay.
There it is. There it is, folks.
There it is. That's where
you gotta go. Pizza in Rome.
No, I'm ready.
Best pizza in Rome. Dude. All right.
Done.
All right. So, for those of you listening, so, just so you know, like, our release... So, we try to stay ahead a little bit. It gives us some time to edit and whatnot. The amount of editing that does get done, which you know is not much. But it gives us time to get things together. So, I think we're like two or three episodes ahead, typically. And since then, we have played two sessions of Music from a Darkened Room, which means we haven't played Delta Green... Impossible Landscapes for over a month. So things are... So we're going to have to give a really dense recap. So forgive me and these guys if we kind of lost the plot a little bit. You know, Jean's all up to his eyeballs in bread and oils. So he's like, all the memories have been pushed out. I'm in the middle of selling a damn house.
I did also binge all of the episodes that I missed, and I'll recap. So there you go. If you need binging recommendations,
Greenbox Gaming, that was the right answer. That's the right answer. You have binged Greenbox Gaming.
Corporate shill.
All right. So last time, we were in the Hotel Broad Album. You guys, you got called to Boston. You got sucked into the... You went to Vegas and dealt with an incursion there. You got sucked into the Dorchester. You escaped the Dorchester after dealing with all of the unnaturalness that is the Dorchester, where it is, the people in it. Eventually, escaping through the theater after meeting King Bael, who is apparently both Timothy Bael and also a demon king. You guys, he's also like the director of this whole shenanigans, gets escaped through the theater, escaped the clown, came back to Boston, and realized that you had to get to the Hotel Broad Albin, a place that you've heard of for a long time. But you received actually a missive, almost instructions on what to do, supposedly from Abigail Wright herself. You guys managed to escape Boston after a manhunt was declared for you. You went to Chicago after this Victor Carell's had produced this screenplay called A Song Before Travel, you guys track down the source of this. You encountered more and more strangeness as you traveled to Chicago. By the time you got to Chicago, it was like the real world, the natural world, was beginning to fall apart at the seams. This entire time, you were seeing these gas mask trench-coated guys. You eventually get into a running gunfight with them. Hank dies and is unnaturally given, like, a deus machina-like resurrection, which he suffered for, before you guys actually arrived at the Hotel Broad Albin. You arrived at the Hotel Broad Albin with a freshly almost dead Hank. You managed to barely get him patched up. You ask for a doctor. You get a doctor. Not the kind of doctor you probably wanted, but a doctor nonetheless. Marvis. You get Elias Barbus right there. Doesn't recognize you. You're introduced to Elmer Lawsett, the general manager. You go up to your rooms and see that they are versions of this room 616 that you once saw at the Boxer Hotel, an unnatural manifestation itself. You try to get some rest. You receive a note under the door that just says the labyrinth. You begin asking around. You go down, you ask Elmer. You're like, hey, at some point in time, you say, hey, we want a different room. We don't like the view that this one has of the suicide chamber across the street. And you're told, not a problem. We'll get you a lakeside view. That's still in the back of my mind. You guys talk to the elevator guy. A guy that by the name of Guido Rooney? Was that it? Nope, Guido Rooney is an artist. This guy's name is Guido something, nonetheless. You guys,
Antonucci.
Yes, Charlie.
That was Charlie.
Yes, yeah. Guido Antonucci, whose real name, who people call him Charlie. You cozy up to Charlie, and he tells you, hey, your friend is all busted up. I can probably get a doctor for you. Probably get something. Don't worry, he'll come find you later. You go down, you talk to Elmer Lawsett, who is a creepy motherfucker. And you talk to this guy, and you basically come to an agreement. He says, hey, listen, I'll tell you how to get where you need to go, this labyrinth, but you got to do something for me first, right? And he gives you a job. You need to go to room 830. You need to fix it. Fix room 830. It's messed up. It eats people. You guys agree. You're going to fix the room. But then in the meantime, you guys head on down.
Some of us agree.
Some of you agree. The majority of you agree.
That's the problem.
The good two-thirds agreed. you guys, then you're like, well, let's explore a little bit. Let's head down to this dining room. Head to the dining room. You see these weird kind of like... this machine kind of called the Automat that's like a big vending machine that's stocked from the other side with food. You see that, but then you also see two people. You meet someone who you've seen before, Mark Rourke. He's there with you. You also meet someone else. Someone who introduces herself as Miriam Darabondi. Tells you that she is Asa Darabondi's mother. You then go down to the library and meet someone else. You meet, what was her name again? Someone remind me?
Miss Carole.
Reggie.
Carell's
last name, Reggie. Luisa, yes, Luisa Reggie. Victor Carell's girlfriend, who you knew had died by hanging. I believe at the end of the last episode, you guys said, yeah, but we don't think she knows she died of hanging. Which just...
Yeah, like scars around her neck, right?
That's right. So you guys are here. You've kind of just finished up your communique with her.
And Victor Carell was the composer of the song?
Yes, of the song Before Travel, which is a screenplay, yes.
Right.
Yes. So the last thing, before we kick off here, there's one last thing I want to do, because it's something I, on my listen back, realized I should have prompted you guys for. I would like everyone to make me an intelligence check. Right, meow.
Okay.
Right here at the outset, and please tell me what you get, because I do not have that screen. Hank. Is that a pass?
Benedict
12
got a pass.
70.
12. Nope.
Benji 48.
And Benji.
Yeah.
Everybody also succeeded.
You guys are standing here, and I'm going to say that maybe you guys realize it now. You realize that you saw Mark another time. You remember this. You saw Mark, or let me phrase you, one of you saw Mark in the crack underneath what's her name's house? Citri's house. Underneath Ophelia Citri's house. Benji, you recall seeing Mark with a woman. A young, dark hair, like bob haircut woman. Right. And he was down there, and he had like spelunking equipment. Like picks and ropes and headlamps and stuff like that. You remember seeing him down there. That's just something I remembered. So I want to knock that out here at the beginning before I forgot.
He also caused the cave-in.
But
yes, he like attacked the crack because you told him, you called out to him. We're like, hey, Mark, it's me. And he's like, I won't fall for your tricks. I won't fall for your tricks this time. And he attacks the crack.
So are you bringing that up because we recognize the woman now?
No, this is not that woman. I'm just saying you remember that you saw Mark then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming. Yes. Sorry, go ahead if you're.
No, that was it. We are good to. So you guys are here in this room. What are you thinking?
My theory about that is that he was in the labyrinth because they were looking for her bottle.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whoever he was with.
So therefore he would know how to get to the labyrinth. Is that where you're going?
Did we already ask him about that? Or
no, we forgot all about.
I don't think you did.
Well, I guess here's what we got to figure out. So I know Benedict isn't keen on this idea, but so Elmer says he's going to tell us where the labyrinth is if we're all in agreement that we need to get to the labyrinth if we take care of this room that eats people, right?
Well, he also mentioned that the room itself had to do with the entrance of the labyrinth.
Oh, he did? Okay. So we could double back and see if. We could double back and see if Mark has another way for us to do it without tackling this room that eats people.
Yeah.
That's the priority right now, right? We're just looking around besides that.
Yes. Okay. Do we have any other obligations? Did we ever get Hank healed?
We have tea. We have tea with Charlie in room two.
That's right. You did promise him you would come by.
We did not promise him.
Yes.
But he offered tea.
Before we... If we have the choice of determining even whether we enter into the labyrinth or not, and it doesn't pop up around us, I would like to get healed at least two more HP points.
So if we get tea with Charlie, he said he can find us a doctor, right?
No, he said a doctor would come to our room later on if we just get to the
room. You guys were very kind to Charlie, and I believe you rolled well on a roll. Unless I'm mistaken.
Didn't he hit on one of us, or one of us hit on him?
I don't think it was hitting on, necessarily. I just think you were...
being British and being regular, you know. It's called being polite.
Just every time you talk to a British person, you're like, are they hitting on me? Or are they just being polite?
It's just the accent, man.
They just grab your no-nads at any occasion possible.
The old British hello.
There was also...
Slap to the fruits.
Mark... Also, I don't know if this means anything, but he keeps insisting that we go and hang out with him and that that we need rest. And specifically that...
Well, let's say this.
Hank needed some rest.
Let's double back and see if Mark has any other ideas in the labyrinth before we... What's next? Tea time? And then...
there was one other task, so... Benji wanted to check the library for some kind of supernatural protection. That was the intent, to search the library before we left to find out more about the room or to try and find some kind of protective voodoo.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't you
to
have
be honest,
like a, I thought you had like a concocted some plan where you were gonna, at a last resort, summon one of these demons again. To help us find the entrance of the labyrinth in exchange for
God, I truly can't remember. I remember vaguely what you're talking about, John. Some sort of protective thing, but I don't remember where I was going with it.
Okay.
If I recall correctly, you guys were saying, specifically Dace, you were saying that, you know, hey, we always get locked and loaded, we get our body armor, like, let's go actually do some research, see if we can find some occultic body armor, find something that will protect us in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was that was pretty much it.
Okay.
There was also the incident in the bathroom shot with Benedict breaking Mirrors again, on account of his creepy self reaching out.
This guy, this guy's problem, man?
And then he butt stroked the mirror. Joe's words, not mine.
It's a real word.
Butt stroke. right. He drew his shotgun out of his shotgun sheath.
His shotgun sheath. Right. His right, or he's got an M4, I think. Is whatever he's got. He drew his gun out of his gun sheath. Shing.
Okay, so since we're already close to Mark Rourke, double back and grill him.
Yeah.
And then figure it out from there.
Yeah. Given that Joe drew attention to this, my prediction is it's going to be a fruitless exercise. But let's do it.
So. Thumbs up from Joe.
So back to the...
All right.
We'll remember it and be like, didn't we see him in that goddamn cave that I almost died in? Benji.
Yeah, so I we're in the room, and he's there.
Can we get back? Well, it was hard to get back from the one hallway to the other. We almost had to invoke Meatball.
Which room are you going to? Because Mark said he was going down to the smoking lounge.
Oh. Well.
Shit.
I guess we'll head there, or try to.
Okay. Yeah, so...
It would be nice if this place had, like, phones in each room. We could just phone it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Don't like phones.
Yeah, phones have worked super well everywhere you guys have tried to use one. It's just been super awesome.
God dang, things are full of beetles.
That's right.
Beetles and Benjis.
By the way, Hank, Benedict, can I just say it's good to see y'all? I feel like for some reason I haven't seen y'all in a while. It's just nice being around you.
It's just nice.
Benedict, like, looks at Hank, like, you think he's okay? We've been here this whole time. It's been like 12 seconds.
Anyway.
I'm gonna be frank. I'm dying. Again. If I had to quantify, I have 3 HP.
Yeah.
If I had to quantify it, and good? 2, and 2 is like way too low.
But ain't it good just spending time together, even despite that, though?
He like coughs some blood into his hand.
See, that's your problem, Hank. You just need to practice being grateful.
Blood dribbling down.
You
his
need
skin.
To choose happiness, Hank.
You need to manifest. Just manifest it. You know.
Kill me.
Okay, so what is your goal right now?
Find Mark Rourke.
We're gonna do that first.
Yes.
All right, you step out of the small library, and it is small. And I told you before that it kind of really reflected kind of Michelle Van Fitz's the sprawling rooms of her apartment at night. You guys step out in the hallway, and to your left is the way you came from the lobby, and right there. Kind of like just to your left, just a little bit, probably like 10 feet, is the door to the, it's probably the door to the dining room where you saw Mark and Miriam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to the right, you see that the hallway goes down quite some ways and then makes a turn. But as you look back down to the lobby, remember I said that though when you exited the dining room, the hallway from the lobby seemed to have grown?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has grown not only in length, but also in height and width.
Mm-hmm.
It's now probably about 15 feet tall and about 20 feet wide. It's like a massive corridor. And what are you doing? I am trying to set the scene.
Please continue.
You talk about being... you talk to Brad... about being appreciative. How about you be appreciative for once, you son of a bitch? But the hallway seems, back to the lobby, seems even longer now. It's almost, you would say, it's probably almost a football field, about 100 meters long.
Some rose red shit. Did y'all ever see that Stephen King show?
Unfamiliar.
Okay.
What do you think our chances of navigating this hallway are? Is it going to be like an endless quarter night floor situation?
It looks like we might have to choose whether we want to talk to Mark or find our way back to the lobby and the rooms. If we go to Mark, we might not even... This hallway might be miles away.
Yep.
Well, let's flip a coin to decide whether we talk to Mark on this fruitless expedition to find the labyrinth, or go back to this room and get eaten alive.
What was the room next to us? What are the markings on the new door that's popped up?
It's not a new door, it's the dining room.
Oh.
Where you were previously.
Oh, I see.
Do y'all want to do that? Do a 50-50?
Yeah.
See which way we go?
Or there's a third option where we can go back to the lobby and talk to... I don't know how much time has passed since we talked to Elmer. We talked about getting a lakeside room.
Oh, he gave it to us, I think. And we have the skeleton key.
Okay.
Important update. We have a skeleton key.
Yes, master key.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I believe that Dace made the Zelda treasure found sound when we got it.
So, and Charlie said the doctor would come to our room.
Yeah.
So what if we just go to the room and maybe the doctor will find us, and then that's one...
Let's just do that. I don't think Mark's going to tell us anything.
Based on the way that Joe held up his thumb, I think you're probably...
It's going to be a conversation with him telling us that he does not remember being in this hallway looking for this artifact or attacking a wall. That's what Joe's got in store for us. So let's come back to that later.
Let's go back to our new rooms. We're going to our new rooms. Waiting.
Do we have our new room number? Do we know where it is?
Yes.
We will say, I don't think it was said before, but we will say that you were given a key. We'll say that you were given a new key. Yes.
Okay.
You could always ask Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably run into Charlie. Probably have to use the elevator to get to the room, I would assume.
Yeah.
Did anyone else get a bit of a vibe from Mark that he's a bit racist towards Italians? Or was that just me? Am I being hypersensitive?
What did he say?
I think he was dismissive of Charlie as the help.
Exactly.
I think is what...
Not acceptable. Not acceptable.
Okay. I think it's classism. I don't think it's racism.
I'm a call it racism. All right.
Oh, that's fine then. Okay, so to the new room.
Okay.
Killed people in role-playing games for less.
Fair. All right, so you guys are going to head back down the lobby.
Yeah.
As you guys begin to walk back down the lobby, there is a kind of sensation of vertigo that grips you all as you are walking back towards the lobby.
Nobody look up. By the meatball. Meatball, nobody look up.
Oh, yes.
Wait, was that a code word?
Yeah,
yeah, the code word for I'm looking at something unnatural, don't look.
Yes.
And I believe, Dace, your pushback was you thought it should be beef and cheddar instead of meatball.
It's so stupid. Yeah.
Anyway, you guys are walking down the hallway back towards the lobby, and there is this kind of sense of vertigo, and you even find yourself, you know, maybe Hank, being physically the weakest of you, finds himself like staggering to the wall and like putting a hand on the wall. You know, maybe one or two of you are also trying to steady Hank or each other as you go. And it gets to the point where there's a moment, you know, I imagine like we do a close up on Benedict's face. as you guys are walking, and there's a bit where Benedict, where he puts his hand like over his eyes, like to steady himself just from the dizziness, like, you know, as his head spins, and there's like a muffled, like you can barely hear audibly, like maybe someone's talking to you, like as far away. It's like, are you all right, sir, Mr. Farthington? And suddenly you guys are standing at the entrance to the hallway.
Oh.
And Elmer Lawsett is there, and he has a comforting and warm hand on your back, Benedict. Mr. Farthington, are you okay?
No. Oh, just get your hands off me. Tries to steady himself. Oh. There's a problem with that hallway. It's not working right either.
The hallway's broken. Call maintenance. I think we just teleported.
But yeah, so you guys want to go ahead and head upstairs?
To our new room.
To your new rooms, okay. Do you want to take the stairs or do you want to take the elevator?
Elevator. No reason otherwise.
Elevator?
Yeah.
Okay. You ring the bell, and you hear, as you ring the bell, there is a short but pretty clear scream from way down in the elevator shaft. It's quickly drowned out by the sound. Human. And it's quickly drowned out by the sound of the elevator grinding up towards you. And as it gets there and comes to a stop, you see that there is a... and Charlie pulls the gate open. You see that at his feet, or like all, not necessarily at his feet, but on the floor, there appears to be a small, like, woman's clutch and like a bunch of pearls, like all over the floor of the elevator.
Say, Charlie.
Yeah?
What the hell?
What do you mean? You going up?
What's with the clutch and the pearls?
Did you just mug someone?
Somebody dropped it. Must have dropped it. I'll put it in the lost and found.
Where's the lost and found?
Yeah.
Oh, I think Elmer. I think Elmer maintains it.
Alright, let's just
look. I just hand wave it.
Yeah, let's go to our room, Charlie, please. It's a new room. Here's the number and the...
And you mentioned a doctor, Charlie. I think we'd like to see him.
Yes, I think he's going to come to your room. I gotta single in on one voice for Charlie. Shit, like I
no,
keep
that's
jumping
good.
Around.
That's it.
It's okay.
Consistent.
And as you're standing here, you hear a hey, hold the elevator. Hold the elevator. And
okay.
You turn and see coming down the hallway, seemingly like where the stairs were, you see a man come out. He is wearing a set of green, like dark OD green canvas fatigues. One of you has military science.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, indeed.
This is an American World War II era uniform.
Hmm.
And he is dragging behind him an M1 Grand, which is an American military rifle.
Sheathed or unsheathed?
Unsheathed.
I see.
He has, you know, like battle accoutrement, like, you know, he's like has like ammunition and stuff like on him, and he's like dragging the rifle behind him, like he just seems weary, and he doesn't have a helmet, and you can see the patches on his arm. He looks to be, you know, and again, if you have like this military, you know, he appears to be some type of low ranking soldier. He says, "Oh, hold on,
are you all right?
Yeah, I need to I'm trying to get out of this place. Hey, Charlie.
Now, why would you want to do a thing like that?
And Charlie will close the gate. He's like, gotta take these people up to their room first, before we can try to help you there. He's like, whatever it takes. He's pale, a young guy. You know, he's probably in his 20s. Over his right side, he has a name tape that says Lobolus.
Lobolus.
Charlie, we're not in a rush. We can take him with us, seeing as though we're expecting a doctor. This man seems like he needs a doctor. You can let him in.
No, I just gotta get back. I just gotta get back to my unit. He seems nervous. Not like necessarily nervous to be there. He seems that too. But he seems nervous to be talking to you guys. He's like, I haven't seen you here before. Like, he's like, his eyes are downcast. And like, he doesn't want to look at you.
Well, we just got here ourselves. That would explain why we haven't seen each other around.
Yeah.
Do you need some help, sir? I mean, we're about to go... A doctor's been tasked with coming to our room and healing me up a bit.
I just need to get out of here. I went into this weird house with all these doors, and
Were you running from someone?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was running from the krauts. What are you? And he looks at Charlie like, these guys, right? Like, these fucking guys. What are they talking about?
Say, partner, what battlefront's your unit on?
4th Armored Division. We're in France. We're northern France. I don't know exactly where we are. Where I was, and he kind of looks up and around. He seems disoriented, but at the same time, like, he just seems desperate. He has an air of desperation about him.
Do you have a room here yet?
No, God, no. No, I'm not staying here. No, Reims? That's where we were. Yeah.
Okay, what's this guy's deal?
Can I try and persuade him, maybe with some charisma? Because I'll probably know about Reims and everything else.
What is your military history? How about that?
Good question.
What's that skill? Because if you tell me what that skill is, I can kind of make a decision on if that skill is sufficient for you to know Reims off the back of your head.
He was, as I said, transit hobbies at one stage included studying weapons from the British Empire.
What is your skill level? Like, what is the actual
number?
That's
40 on military science.
40 is it ain't nothing. So a 40. So in the handbook, in the player's handbook, page 28, it has a small chart here that basically says what different levels kind of represent. A 40 is a college major or years of experience.
Wow.
So
Benedict had some time on his hands doing.
So Benedict had some time on his hands. He's more than a hobbyist. He doesn't just watch the History Channel. Like, this is someone who's gone out of their way. Yeah.
He'll know.
You know about Reims. There was a pretty significant battle there. Again, the 4th Armored Division sounds correct. You do get a little confused about which American units were where in France at what times. There were so many of them. You don't know this name. You don't know Lobolus or anything. I mean, he appears to be a private, you know. I mean, how many privates do you know about except for the ones who do really, really wild stuff?
So can I somehow get like a maybe plus 20, 40 on a persuade to get him to come with us?
Hmm.
like use my knowledge of Lobolus and of Reeves
of the war.
Like, yeah, I think I know where you came from, and I might be able to help you get back.
Roll me a military science real quick. Actually, roll me the roll. I want to see what happens. Let's see.
You're rolling on real life persuade on Joe.
On Joe right now.
That's persuade. A 37 under 40.
Okay. Nice. You recall a name of a colonel in the 4th Armor Division who did something important. And I would say that you can get a plus 20 to persuade by using like some name of some people who you're pretty sure were real that maybe this guy's heard of. That might give you some extra clout. You know the language. Maybe you can convince him that you have some authority. What's your angle?
I want him to come with us. I want him to come with us either as Operation Meat Shield or Operation Give Us More Information and see how we might be able to get out. Or more sick version, send him into the room and ask him to just pop his head in and then come right back out.
Jesus, Benedict. When did Benedict feel so callous?
This is what this world has turned him into.
Oh my lord, you're gonna... This is... He has... I love this idea. Now that you look at him, he reminds you of someone.
A little younger.
Yeah, eager to please.
Like, private Jeremy.
Lobolus.
Lobolus.
Dude.
You should come with us. I think Private Patterson will be able to really, really clear this up and should be able to help you out.
Okay, make me that roll. That's see what success. You get.
21 under 84.
Okay, so you're trying to like appeal to authority, like make it appear that you are someone of an or what's your feel, or just like hey, we'll get you what you need kind of thing.
I'm from the British Army, and I know your general, and I may be able to put you in touch with him if we get on the wire. We get on the telephone wire together.
He's like, do you have if we could find a radio. I mean, yes, I'm a radio operator. Like if we find a radio, I can get a hold of somebody.
I'm pretty sure we can make that happen.
Yeah, your weapons. You guys do remember now that you're carrying weapons around. He's like, these weapons. These must be British weapons. I've never seen anything like them.
Exactly. I call this one Jimmy James.
That's a name.
Jimmy James.
That's a name for your rifle. He's like, I call mine gun. And he picks it up and he shows it to you, and it has like, it has some very conspicuous hash marks on the stock near the cheek. There's like some butt 11 strokes of them. There,
private.
Yeah, some classic butt strokes. It looks like this guy's been in combat, and that he has kept track of his kills.
Private, we'll get you patched up, and we'll try and find a radio. Let him in, Charlie.
Okay. He's already in. Okay, so he's like, all right, I'll go with you as long as you guys promise me you're gonna help me get back to my unit. I got nothing. I've been walking around this place for. He gets a far off look.
Well, ages. Private, the good news is it probably can't get any worse.
That is not comforting. But okay.
Dude, did you just get us a new party NPC?
Da 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 da!
That is amazing.
Okay.
You've acquired a shell-shocked private.
Add your inventory one shell-shocked private. You now have a Private Lobolus with you. Lucky you. I'm sure that's not going to be a problem.
No.
How many marks are on his stock?
11.
Oh.
11.
Okay. Well, lucky for Joe, he doesn't have a weird accent. I think that's the luckiest thing on all of this.
Thank God. Charlie takes you up to your room. Or he takes you up to your floor. He's like... You show him, you know, Elmer gave you a room key. You show him the key with the number on it. Again, these kind of Carcosian numbers. Carcosian scripts. You show it to him, and he raises an eyebrow. He's like, "Are you sure? You sure you want that? You want that room?"
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, it's not the nicest room.
Got a lakeside view, ain't it?
Yes.
What's wrong with that room, Charlie?
Just kind of not dangerous, just loud.
You care to elaborate?
Always banging, booming.
My kind of room.
Rattling.
Well, it won't deter the doctor from visiting us, would it?
Oh, no. He'll come to you.
God.
Well, that's what these fellas wanted, so I guess we'll stick to this lakeside view.
Charlie.
Room.
Hmm.
We'd like this. We know this is a good room, but I think Elmer mentioned something about any nicer rooms we could probably take over. Do you know if there are any empty, nicer ones where Hank could get a little bit of rest?
I'm. You just want me to tell you about unoccupied rooms?
Well, more just what's your most. What would you say is your best room? What
room
you
two?
Love?
It's pretty nice.
Your
you
room,
should visit.
You just,
like the utility closet where you.
And it's like a little tiny tea set with a little baby doll on the other side. Okay, never mind, Charlie.
Is there a what is it called when there's like a huge room at the top of a hotel?
Like a penthouse.
Yeah,
penthouse.
Say, Charlie, is there a penthouse in this hotel?
No penthouse. We do have a honeymoon suite.
Oh.
I got a bed shaped like a heart.
And a hot tub.
It vibrates.
Is that one currently occupied?
Yes.
You know? Who's in there?
No one important. you're not getting that one.
I beg to differ. We got a master key.
Oh, look, here we are. Room with a view.
Let's just... We wanted this room. Let's just go ahead and see whatever. All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Yep.
Thank you, Charlie. See you later.
Yep.
Hank, let's try the new key.
See you later, Robin.
Hey, Lebolus, you got any cash on you?
I think I've got a few. He pulls out some... it's like printed on... regular paper. You would know he has like a few old school bucks on him, but he pulls out some paper that you basically know that Benedict would know is basically like
rations.
American Army like ration printed money.
All right, well, tip the man.
okay, here you go, Mr. Charlie. And
attaboy.
Charlie takes it and he's like, he just like shoves it in his jacket. He's like, toodaloo. And again, he hits the lever and the elevator just rockets down just out of sight, just whoo, and it's gone.
Oh, fuck. I meant to look inside that clutch.
Yeah, we should have looked. I also thought of that. Yep.
You guys see the hallway here, and there are a bunch of... It looks very similar. A little more rundown, maybe, than the rest of the places you've seen thus far. And at least two or three of the doors appear to be boarded up. Like, there's literally boards hammered over the end of them. Or over them.
Seems and there is convenient now that we have a skeleton key. Let me just say, the narrator boarded up.
And there is... But there's one door that matches your key here. As you approach it, your recently acquired NPC begins to sweat profusely as there is a low rumble that seems to kind of come from this door and permeate through the floor and the air. This low rumble for just a moment. This woo. It spreads out. And again, you're... But Yin-Yin, Private Lobolos is like, is this where you guys are going?
Hank's gonna roll place? roll a like, you don't suspect Elma would been so diving to actually give us the room of the room he wanted us to investigate that eats people, do you?
Well, we have I have that room number, and it's 8:30.
This is not 8. This is not. Let me tell you what this is not. This is not room 8:30 with like a piece of tape over the room number, and like a different room number written on it. Like, this is not that. This is not room 8:30, as far as you can tell.
Good thinking, Brad. Hank.
Let's see.
Yep, that's where we're going. Right this way, young buck.
Have you been here, Private?
No, it's just something so unsettling about it. It's all...
Oh, ignore it. Shove that feeling down. Carry on.
Bury it within yourself.
It's PTSD in the making right there. Yeah, you're like, just don't right now. Deal with it 40 years from now when you're at home.
And make sure to never go to therapy.
Never talk about it.
I'm never gonna talk about this. Okay. All right. Are you guys gonna?
From the ones that love you the most.
So you guys are gonna enter the room?
We'll knock gently.
Hank's like, normally I know I'm the one that goes first, but I would much appreciate it if one of you fellas go in before me this time.
Right on.
You knock on the door, nothing happens.
Let's try open it, let's try but not key. Go in.
Is it locked, right?
It's locked, you have a key, and it opens up.
I want to try the other key, though.
The master key?
Hmm.
It also opens.
Okay. I found out that this key works.
Excellent. Boys. Great news.
Well done.
The door eases open in front of you, and I imagine it sounds like no one is really excited to go in here. And the door eases open, and you see before you a very similar room to the one you stayed in previous, which was, you know, like a version of 616. It's clean. It smells a bit musty, like maybe no one's been in here for a while. The drapes are pulled over the window, and the bed is made, and it looks great. This one still has a phone in it, because no one's pulled it out of the wall yet.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Hank will do a search.
Okay.
As will Benji.
This.
Yeah, Private Lobola, seeing you guys will do this, will also, like, go and pull out the drawer. You know, and like, and look around.
Success for Benji too.
Okay. Who did Benedict do one of those, or is it just these two?
Benedict is gonna hang out by the door, and he's gonna like close the door, and then like open it, waiting for the doctor, and then close it, open until he pops up.
All right. I'm gonna roll a quick dice here. 15 below is Hank. 51 and above is Benji. Benji it is. Benji.
Yeah.
Drawn towards the window.
Again?
Again.
Oh, no.
You didn't get enough last time. This time you go to the window and you pull the curtain aside and you see that it's dark outside. It's dark, but it is very obvious that it is raining. You can hear the splatter against the glass and see the drips going down. You see vague shapes on distance, buildings, but as you kind of strain your eyes to see, it's like, am I looking right across it? They seem far away. And about that time, you see a briefest of flashes in the far distance, and it silhouettes buildings that have been reduced to their skeletons. It illuminates a ruined city. For just the briefest moment before the shockwave reaches the window. Oh, and you feel the rattle of the windows. Private Lobolus instinctually drops back behind the bed. And, you know, in his eyes wide as he grasps, as, you know, and very suddenly grasps his rifle expertly. And he's like, Jesus Christ, what is...
Can Hank run a, can Hank roll a heavy weapons maybe to determine what kind of arsenal this is, if it is any natural arsenal or something?
Sure. What a good use of... We never get to use heavy weapons.
That's awesome.
And I failed.
Failure!
This is the absolute worst place we could have taken a shell shot.
This... You, and as actually, you look down...
Private,
and in the,
do you recognize those noises?
The hell do you mean? Yeah, of course I recognize them.
What artillery are we dealing with?
I don't fucking know!
Okay, at ease.
They don't typically tell you what it is when you have at incoming.
We'll be fine. Relax.
God.
Hank, like, are we safe to close the door behind us?
Well, who the hell knows?
Hank's gonna be like, listen, son, I don't know how much you know, or if you know more than we know, but to be frank, we're all in a bit of a situation, and we could much use your help in what's to come. I mean, this is, I'm assuming you were in the war, and you were... Something happened, you were running for something, you ended up at this hotel. That sound about right?
Yeah, there's this house that we had set up the HQ in. Big old house. Chateau. A nice house. You know, I'm a radio operator. Yeah, something happened and I found myself here. I've been trying to get back ever since. There was an intruder. I chased him. He gets really quiet. He's like, I don't know if I survived.
I can,
I think this might be hell.
Son, I'm pretty sure you're alive. I mean, I don't want to lay too much on you, but well, all of us here, I think, have come here from different times and places, and I don't know how much sci-fi you watch, but this is kind of.
Let me see how much sanity damage this guy needs to take from hearing all this.
It's kind of like a parallel world between worlds.
No.
All right.
You really burdened the
know,
NPC.
We all got some kind of situation going on, and we best if we rely on each other, you know, to... Because we have some business to do here, but we do want to... leave this place eventually as well.
I just need to get back to my unit. I don't like this place. There's another boom in the distance, and the window again rattles, and he tenses up.
Well, just stay calm. We got a doctor coming. Maybe he can give you something to relax a little bit, you know. Take the edge off.
Benji?
What's your first name, Private?
Oh. Rovan.
Rovan?
Yeah.
Well, I believe we're the closest thing you're going to get to a unit for now.
Yeah. That's. I'll take first watch. If you guys want.
Can Hank attempt to rest some? Or is that specifically a mechanic for overnight?
You guys can attempt to kind of bed down and rest again if you want.
I just want to do that solely for... I mean, he would be, like, wanting to rest, I would think, at 3 HP. try to regain something.
True.
I'd allow it. If you guys are just gonna, like, let's just try to get some rest.
Yeah. Quick powwow. Benedict, Benji, aside from private, do you remember the whole napping incident and the water in the window? That
but I
might
mean,
be a bit problematic.
We're all... Could be, but... I mean, where else are we going to go? I think we're basically in some kind of version of whatever we were navigating to when we fell asleep, you know? It
yeah,
was trying to pull us
sense.
Here, I think. I mean, I don't know
okay.
if there's anywhere more crazy for...
All I'm suggesting is one of us stays awake with private Reams. The bolus, and we just stagger our sleep to make sure nothing weird happens.
Yeah, I like that plan.
Okay. So you guys are going to basically create like a plan to stay awake.
I guess until this doctor comes and visits.
Okay. You...
Well, Hank can rest though, right?
Or does Hank want to take a round of staying awake?
No, I want to try to get at least one HP back from resting.
Okay. Alright. Private Lobolus takes up a spot there by the window, you know, and he's like, so damn dark. And, you know, every now and then, again, there's another one of these flashes, or maybe two or three at a time. You know, maybe...
Are we on the ground floor?
Nah, you guys look to be up a little ways. It reminds you of the flashes that you saw through the barred window of the Dorchester. Something going on, some type of battle in the distance.
Dorchester.
Oh, the Dorchester?
Yeah, you saw when you guys were in the nighttime, when you guys were trapped in the night world in the Dorchester. One of you saw briefly through some, you know, some flashing booms
yeah.
in the distance.
Outside of character, you know, we had this always alluded to ever since we talked about Senator way back when that there was like kind of battle. You know, maybe that's still going on in this Carcosa world.
Yeah, I've got a few things I want to do, and one of them is to ask Rovan who the Axis powers are in the war.
Oh, maybe he is like not from our world, yeah. Or maybe, you know.
Right.
I think he is. So.
But, he tells you, he's like, you know, Germany, Italy. You know, I'm you know, in the Pacific, Japanese.
Name Carcosa mean anything to you?
No, not at all.
Right on.
His
tentacles
money
come out of his mouth.
His money has all the right faces on it and stuff, you know, so.
And when I look out the window, do I see the lake anywhere?
No.
That lying son of a bitch.
You have that
Elmer's ass.
You press your face, and you cup around your hands. One of the flashes goes. And maybe you have to wait through quite a few for maybe as many as like 10 minutes or so. Before you see one of these flashes that appears to be close enough to actually illuminate what is directly beyond, and you see that indeed there is no other side of the street from you. There is an incredible, dark, still, massive lake that spreads out in front of you.
Can you see the other side of the lake, or is it so big it looks like a...
It's so big, it like basically looks like it almost goes to the horizon, but you
like
can barely make out buildings on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, and maybe as one of these explosions go off, you think maybe for a moment. Roll me an alertness check, actually.
Okay. Not too great. Fucking fumble.
Oh, that might be better than seeing something.
My eyeballs fall out of my head.
Whoops.
The window has begun to fog up. think it's getting warm in here, maybe. You can't see anything. You don't know if you're going to be able to see anything.
Okay.
Jeez.
Well, Benji will also try to get some rest.
All right, everyone, go ahead, and if you're missing HP, roll me a constitution check.
Actually, John, is Benedict down at all?
Yeah, he's down to about half.
Oh, shit. Benji will stay up if Benedict wants to get some rest, because I'm only down one.
Okay. So it looks like Benedict does not heal any.
Do not heal.
You do not get any restful sleep. Hank can take another hit point. He gets a 5,670. Willpower. Willpower is going to get spicy here, especially for one of us. Willpower. I believe you roll a d4 to get some willpower back, unless I am mistaken.
Is that all of us or just Benji?
Willpower.
Oh, the other ones of you get to do that. Benji has a whole other thing he has to do.
Well, do I get... I mean, it wouldn't apply to me because I'm not going to sleep, right?
Oh, you're not going to try to get willpower back?
No, I thought you were going to sleep. We were just going to stagger it so that if the Nightfall's window situation happens again, we'd notice it. But I think
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you are going to try to rest?
If you'll allow us to do that. Like, if we have enough time to do that.
You do. If you want to go in order, then you can roll a constitution check real quick, see if you get any rest as well.
Okay.
So, tell me how that goes, please.
Rolling con. Success.
Okay. So, you get your one hit point back. Sorry, roll a d6 if you need any willpower back. Now, Benji. Benji really needs to get a good night's sleep. If he doesn't, he's going to start suffering from insomnia, from sleeplessness.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I see here it says sleep disorder. Roll sanity check.
Yep, you need to roll a sanity check for me. Let us see how you do.
Come on, Benjamin. Failure.
All right. Now, unless I am mistaken, let me see if I can find this real quick. You cannot get any sleep. You cannot regain any hit points. You cannot regain willpower. Everything from here.
But I can keep that hit point.
You can keep the hit point.
Okay.
Anything you do until you get some sleep, or until you get something to help pep you up, maybe, or something, is going to be at a negative 20.
Oh, hell.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah, Benji is like laying in bed, eyes wide open. He's just like, maybe his hands are shaking, and he's just like thinking, man, some Xanax would have really fucking hit the spot right now.
But you ain't got none. You do not have any. At some point.
That's rough.
At some point in time, you guys are going through the cycle. Hank, did you say you were taking a round of watch at all?
Sure.
Hank, you are on watch. Staying up, watching guys back. Private Lobolus has curled up. He's taken his kind of like heavy field jacket off and kind of put it over himself. He refuses to sleep in the bed. He's like, you know, he wants to sleep on the floor and he wants to sleep as far away from the window as possible. Or maybe he even goes and like sleeps in the bathtub. You know? And you are awake and trying to stay aware. And there's a bit where you start to nod. I mean, you're still in such... Tank is in such rough shape. Still. You have 4 hit points now? 4 whole hit points? You begin to nod off a bit. And you are awoken by the vibration and the boom of one of these explosions. And it rattles everything. I imagine that you guys are probably leaving at least one of the lights on a little bit, you know, so that you can see. And even as that happens, the light flickers and goes out. And you know, Hank, everything gets quite dark. Maybe you can just make out the illumination of maybe like the faintest of the sound of maybe like machine gun fire in the distance. Just barely. And I imagine Hank is like maybe sitting. There's like a small desk with a chair. Maybe Hank, you're sitting in it with your weapon across your lap. And you hear it sounds like Lobolus stirring in the bathroom as you hear the bathroom door, you know, begin to open. And Hank turns, expecting to see the silhouette of a World War II American soldier. That is not what you see. Someone,
oh, hell.
Someone else is standing in the bathroom door. And they're very, very still.
Hank just like slowly raises his M4 and just points it at him.
There is a flash of another explosion out the window, and it just barely makes out a horrifically disfigured man. He looks to be burned over the vast majority of his body. Most of his ears and his nose look to almost be missing. And you can just make out that he's holding his hands up just barely in front of him. A symbol of peace.
Wild, is that you?
You see the head just barely in the darkness shake back and forth, no. And you hear a raspy voice. What ails you?
Holy shit.
Oh, jeez. Is the doctor?
Holy shit.
But Hank kind of looks around. Is anyone else in the room? Anybody else?
Roll sanity check. Is that a fumble? Is that a sanity check fumble?
Wow.
That is...
Hank.
This is perfect. I love this.
Hank. So I'm gonna roll that D4 for you real quick.
Oh no.
Let's go ahead and roll that D4. Go ahead and take 2 sanity damage as another flash goes off and you realize that not only are your companions not here, there is no bed. There is not even a door to exit the room. There is just this door. Even the desk you were just sitting at seems to be gone. It is just you and this figure.
Are you the doctor that Charlie sent? Like getting nervous.
Charlie. Yes.
A hand goes out pointing towards you and pointing just below your chin at your wound.
It ails you there.
Hank kind of like just like exposes the wound, the various wounds on him, and kind of sits there like allowing the figure to like come closer if that's what he does.
These staggered, unsteady steps as the figure begins to come close to you, the fingers all extending now, not pointing, but as if to touch you. And I imagine Hank is sitting there, like maybe like with the, again, like you have like a wound, like maybe up on your upper chest, you've like pulled your shirt back. And just as you feel a hand begin to touch the bandage, in the cinematic version of this, we'd zoom in on the bandaged wound. And we'd see the hand just barely begin to touch. and then grab Hank, to grab the wound. Oh, and there's a moment where Hank, where you clench your eyes shut and scream in horrific pain. And you realize the lights are back on. And you open your eyes and you turn and you see that Benedict sits up on the bed and, like, you know, very suddenly, because Hank has just screamed. Hank, you have nodded off while you're on watch.
Hank, like, would you looks...
Okay. Would you roll a d4 for me?
Dex is a wound.
Okay. It doesn't seem to be that different. But you would swear that it feels a little better, but not significantly yet.
It's like not 4 hit points better.
Not 4 hit points better.
Not any hit points better?
No.
Hank looks at Benedict and he's like,
You okay, buddy?
not at all for bit. I recommend no one nod off or sleep.
No sleeping. All right.
No problem there, well, buddy.
I'm not going in the bathroom, so I just urinated in the corner there because I'm not touching bathrooms anymore.
As one does.
I get you, man. Damn it. I get you.
In the little, I'm wondering what that smell
is. There's like a little waste paper bin there. It's just,
just one of those, the ones that have holes in it made of steel.
As it spills out everywhere.
As you say that, you do realize something.
No, Joe. No, there's no mirrors. Don't do this to me.
How long? You guys have been here for a while now. You haven't actually needed to go to the bathroom. Not even once. Weird. It's probably a good place for us to go ahead and call this way.
Wait a second.
What? A toilet cliffhanger?
A toilet cliffhanger? All right. Go ahead.
Says, wait a second. I haven't had to shit.
All right. All right, guys. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're joining us live or you're joining us later. I have two people. Two new friends I'd like to welcome to our Patreon. We have Thomas. Wait, Thomas was before. No, sorry. It is Thomas. It's Thomas and Kelpie.
Hey,
Thomas.
Thomas. Hey,
thank
Kelpie.
You.
Thomas welcome. Kelpie. Thank you so much for supporting
because
us.
Because of you, we have our dear John back.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks
it.
To your wonderful contribution to the. Free John from the Cartels Fund, which is what I named. It's touch and go.
It's touch and go.
But it's good to have him back, and thank you guys for joining us.
Horrible time eating bread and oil.
Just needed some fiber.
Yeah. I'm surprised the cartels are so generous with the Geneva Convention. I didn't even think they were required to do that.
All right.
Much like our characters, John is not shit in a month.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. Everyone listening and watching, tell a friend about us. Leave a good review wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. Really appreciate it. It helps to get the word out there. And we're just glad you could be here for this. But yeah, guys, thank you for being here.
Thank you, John.
Back at you.
And
we'll be back in action.
Back in action. For those of you who are here with us live, stay tuned. Stand by. We're going to take a break. And we'll be back. For those of you listening later, thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye.